Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And the rivals of last night's big Super Tuesday winners say it is not over. But in her speech last night, Hillary Clinton started looking past Bernie Sanders to Donald Trump.
That work is not to make America great again. America never stopped being great. We have to make America whole. We have to fill in what's been hollowed out.
Well, in his speech, Donald Trump mocked Hillary Clinton.
You know, I watched Hillary's speech, and she's talking about wages have been poor, and everything's doing badly, but we're going to make it. She's been there for so long. I mean, if she hasn't straightened it out by now, she's not going to straighten it out in the next 4 years. It's just going to become worse and worse. She wants to make America whole again, and I'm trying to figure out what is that all about. Make America great again is going to be much better than making America whole again.
So let's get started on this day after, or as Conan O'Brien put it last night, Jeremy, the holy mackerel Donald Trump won everything Wednesday after Super Tuesday.
I don't think he used the word mackerel.
No, he didn't. And we start with Here and Now political analyst Paris Denard, the Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello.
And Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist with the Rabin Group in Washington. Hi, Jamal.
Hello. Good to be here.
Paris, start with you. You know what everyone's saying. Peggy Noonan says the Republican Party is in complete civil war. Do you see rubble or rebuilding? What do you see?
Well, what I see is that the Republican Party cannot really complain about Donald Trump because for at least 6 years or more, we allowed Donald Trump to go into state parties and get awards. Many senators and congressmen and presidential candidates were going up to New York to have his endorsement and get his money. And even in the last GOP convention in Florida, we had a whole segment that was taped with Donald Trump to tell President Obama that he was fired. But the video had to be, the whole day had to be canceled because of some scheduling things. And so we have been accepting and playing with and being a part of this Donald Trump phenomena for some time. The problem now is the establishment is saying, wait a minute, he has credibility because the people are voting for him in massive amounts of numbers, and he's winning these states, so he could be our nominee.
But some in the establishment are saying, I'll never vote for him. What happens now with the party? Do you see the party embracing Donald Trump and saying, okay, well, I don't love everything he says, but I'll go along with it because he's at the head of the ticket, if indeed he is? Or do you see them saying, forget it, I'm going to go split off and form my own party?
Well, we all know that third parties never work. Ross Perot tried it. It didn't work for him to win, even though he took away votes from President George H.W. Bush, and he's still bitter about that today. The fact of the matter is, if Donald Trump is our nominee, we have to coalesce around him, get on board, help him as much as we can to make him win against Hillary Clinton. What we normally do as a party is we sit at home and we don't turn out. But what we've seen with Donald Trump, which is the phenomena of Trump, is the fact that he is broadening the base of the party by bringing in more people to vote in these primaries. And so it is not a smart move to say, I will not vote for the GOP nominee if it is Donald Trump, because that is effectively saying, I want Hillary Clinton to win and I want her and I will vote for Hillary Clinton. Whether they do it or not, that's a vote for Hillary.
Well, but they also could be trying to push them in these last few weeks, you know, that they can to other Republican candidates. But Paris, you make a point that others have made that the Republican Party is sort of created Donald Trump, for instance, allowing him for so long to question President Obama's birthright, things like that. But Jamal, you jump in here, the Democratic strategist. Democrats can't be sitting back watching this with glee because this is kind of a dangerous time. What are the concerns on the Democratic side?
You know, that's exactly the word that I was going to use. I wish that I could be gleeful about what was happening. I think that it's, you know, this is a problem not just for the Republicans. This is really a problem for the Republic. I mean, I'm not trying to be very alarmist, but the idea of a billionaire who scapegoats ethnic minorities, who attacks the press, wants to limit press freedom if he gets to be elected, and You know, he runs around with his own squad of security agents who get not just the Secret Service, but his own security who get protesters and punish them at his rallies. I mean, this is a dangerous figure. And I think that the sentiments and the what he's tapping into in American life is not something that we really want to let go. And I think Republicans who are rational, who care about the democracy, who want us to have functioning markets and a strong, you know, military and a strong country, really have to take seriously whether or not this is somebody we want to see on the national stage.
And I just have to rush to say, I didn't mean, as you do, that this is a dangerous figure. I meant it's a time.
Thank you.
And, I meant it's a time in which you have to, you know, be careful, because these are voters, these are Americans who have made this decision. And so for the Democrats to discount that choice is potentially dangerous for them. That's what I meant.
But, you know, Hugo Chavez was elected in Venezuela.
Here we go.
I mean, there are...
Bernie Sanders, or who are we talking about?
But there's a history of democracies that look for people in times of economic strife. And while they're, you know, they have these sort of ethnic concerns, there are times when they invite people in. And I don't think that we're overstating the case to say Donald Trump is really a very troubling figure. And I think there are people in the Republican Party who are willing to face up to that and say, I would rather see Hillary Clinton keep in office than to see Donald Trump destroy them.
And then, of course, there are many who don't think that. But let me listen to some of the rivals of Donald Trump and what they were saying last night. Here's Marco Rubio last night, who won his first and only state so far, Minnesota.
Just 5 days ago, we began to unmask the true nature of the front runner so far in this race. 5 days ago, we began to explain to the American people that Donald Trump is a con artist.
And then here's Ted Cruz, who won Texas and Oklahoma and Alaska last night, and of course, who earlier in the month won Iowa last month.
For the candidates who have not yet won a state, who have not racked up significant delegates, I ask you to prayerfully consider our coming together, uniting.
Paris, if the party's going to stop Trump, do they have a better chance of doing that with Cruz or Rubio, or some would say John Kasich?
I think we have a better chance of doing that with John Kasich. And I say that because look at John Kasich's tone, his rhetoric, and some of his positions I think would appeal greatly to people that are independent, that are moderates, and that might be what we call the Reagan Democrats. He's reasonable, he has experience, and he is somebody that I think is a general election candidate that would do very, very well standing there against a Hillary Clinton who knows a lot and has a lot of experience. But the thing that we cannot discount is the will of the people. This is a democracy. And so while we can point to Donald Trump and say, we don't like the way he talks, we don't think he has a policy, we don't think he has a plan, he's bombastic, he says all of this, there are still a huge swath of people who are coming out in droves saying, this is who we want, this is what we believe, and this is who we like. It is dangerous for the establishment to then go to the convention and try to move the rules and change things to make their vote not count and to discredit their values and their opinions. And so the best thing to do if the establishment wants to have somebody at the top of the ticket is to put someone that can do well in a general, and I think that person is John Kasich.
Well, and Jamal, again, that was, you know, Paris, who's Paris Denard, a Republican strategist, but Jamal Simmons, the Democratic strategist. It's not as if the Democratic Party doesn't have the chance of very unhappy campers of its own because of, you know, Bernie Sanders, who's chugging along. Let's listen to him from last night.
At the end of tonight, 15 states will have voted, 35 states remain. And let me assure you that we are going to take our fight for economic justice, for social justice, for environmental sanity, for a world of peace to every one of those states.
Jamal, Hillary Clinton has already begun speaking of Bernie Sanders as an esteemed sort of elder statesman, not a competitor. Is that is she thinking, you know, is that a mistake on her part?
You know, Bernie Sanders has been a phenomenal asset in the course of this campaign. He has unleashed amazing passion from Democrats. He's talked about issues that needed to be on the agenda around income inequality. I don't see a path for him to get a majority of the delegates at the Democratic convention and to become the Democratic nominee. So this is going to be a fight that goes on forever. This man has more money than, you know, he raised more money in the last couple of months
million,
than we've
yeah.
seen anybody else do.
$5 billion in one day.
Absolutely. So he's not going anywhere. So it's important, I think, for Hillary Clinton to show respect and to begin to start to woo his supporters. And I think she's doing the right thing.
Well, and just both of you comment on Chris Christie, who got most of the, you know, social media last night.
It was so weird. It was so strange. Standing. He was back there. And usually when people stand behind somebody, they look out of the audience, they smile, they clap. He was like staring at the back of Donald Trump's head in this weird way.
I saw him, you know, I'll let you get in here. Yeah. But like just I saw him when Trump was talking about defending Planned Parenthood, the look on Chris Christie's face, like he just did not
Of the social media bubbles that went around were what the what when he again Donald yes. Trump praising Planned Parenthood. Paris, jump in real quick.
If Chris Christie does not get a cabinet position in somebody's administration, they are crazy. He is a good GOP soldier. He's taken a lot for the team, and it's a lot to take on, and his face described it all. That's a good Republican right there.
But seriously, I mean, Jamal, I mean, that image of two kind of I love New Jersey. I'm from Long Island, but some people think it's an extension of New York. So two New Yorkers standing there running for the president and perhaps VP. Jamal?
Yeah, and then imagine if Mike Bloomberg ran. You'd have three yeah. New Yorkers yeah. running to be president.
No, and actually
Joe Biden looking out the window.
Yeah, right. Well, and I will say, I looked this up. If Ted Cruz and John Kasich get out of this race at some point before getting to the end, we're going to have the first East Coast president since John F. Kennedy. Paris Denard, Jamal Simmons, thank you so much for joining us.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
This is Here and Now.